I'm going to do some work today about confidence in God. I think that's a good thing to deal with. I have full assurance that if my wife tells me something, you could take it to the bank. I look across this room and I see other people that I've known for years, and we've been together in this room for many years. Confidence is something that's more than just, yeah, I think that guy's okay or this girl's all right. Over the years, I have witnessed almost every kind of doubt that a believer could possibly have. Have you seen people who just, you know, Satan gets a hold to you and it takes you down and you don't know what's right or wrong anymore? And that's what Satan wants to do. There are those who live walking in the confidence of God every day, and they're to be praised above all of us. Those who walk in confidence of God every day have the marks that are of contentment that openly is seen by other people. I can ask Karen back here. You know, sometimes, I mean, we love music, and I'll sometimes say, I'm having a problem with this tune, and can you give me a so-and-so note? And she'll do, she gives it right to me. Boy, that's good when you're singing. There's that confidence that the Lord Jesus Christ will never leave me or forsake me. Do you have that? Do you believe that? You do know if you hang out here long enough, you're going to die. You do know that, right? But what you got to know with that is, just because that happened, it's not over till God says it's over. And God has a way. He's got this word that's a real good word. It's called resurrection. That means get up. You're going to get back up. Do you know that when you die, we all cry for you, or you all cry for me, whoever it is first, and we plant you at the yard, you know, where the stones are and everything. Your place is there, and people come by and cry. Don't cry about that. You're going to walk again. You're wasting time and good marble. God is going to pick us up. You will walk again after you die. Now, there's a confidence that God is doing for us and not being forsaken. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you. That's big words, yes? Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Somebody come in here right now and say, I'm not going to hurt everybody, but I hate preachers, and they shoot me. That's not going to be my best day, but it's not going to be my last one either. God is on our side. God can fix anything that's broken, yes or no, if He chooses to. Does He sometimes let things just drag way out to show you what it's like when you don't comply the way you should to Him? I'll never leave you, never forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can a mere mortal do to me? Believers such as we are must be free from the love of money and things of this world. I can tell you for a fact, I am free of money. You ever been free of money? That's when you ain't got none. You know? As believers, we have a continual presence of the Lord. And it's not just about us, but it's within us. What's better, something about us or something that's inside of us? Yeah, because what can you take it with that? If you got something good in your character, you are worth something, something big. But if you just know about some stuff, it's not the same. We have God's protection and provision constantly offered to us, and we need to never allow that to become something we don't see every day. God is watching with us every day to see how things are. The writer of the book of Hebrews quotes two Old Testament passages of Scripture, and we ought to listen to that. It's going to be Joshua 1 through 9. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As it was with Moses, so will it be with you. I will, listen to these words, never leave you. Haven't we already heard this just a few minutes ago? Has God got the thing in a loop where it's telling us something back, you know? Or does God want us to hear it so many times that we really get to the idea God's really on our side? As it was with Moses, so will I be with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give to them. Be strong and be very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Now, did he say you got to have that thing in your hand all the time? No. But if you can say it without holding the book, isn't that just as good? How many times when you get in a situation, you just kind of, you don't even look all the way to heaven. You just look and say, Lord, can you and will you help me through this thing I'm in? You ever get in stuff like that? Do you think God is there to help us? Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Does God say in the Scriptures, if we hang with Him, He will hang with us? Is that pretty much basic what He's saying? Now, is God just going to jump up one day and then make a miracle in your house? Probably not. But He's done many things before. Psalm 118, 6 through 9. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord, and He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord's with me. That's pretty good stuff. Can we process the idea that God walks with me, even though I don't deserve it, and though you don't deserve it? Do you remember the song, I walk with the King? Yeah, it's saying all that stuff that the Scriptures say it. That's why singing is good, because singing is done even in the Bible. People sang these songs because singing those songs kept up everybody with what was going on. They heard the words of the song and people did better. Joshua 1-9. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As it was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Be strong, be courageous, because you will lead the people and to inherit the land that I swore to you and your ancestors to give them. Be strong, be very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law of the servant Moses. After a while, you come by and see some of it again, and you say, what is it? I thought we read that a while ago. Why would God do that? Did you ever tell your kids something? Now, you're going to let you go. I'm telling you right now, if you're not here by so-and-so o'clock, you will not be going anywhere next week. Y'all ever do something like that? Does God do that? Isn't that what he's doing? That's how mothers, mostly mothers, got all that information, because they watch God do it. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you, and do not run from it to the right or the left, that you may be successful. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it night or day, so that you will be careful to do everything written. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong. Be courageous. Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God will be with you. Psalm 118, verses 6 to 9. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord, and he brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He's my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. So who makes such a promise, and to whom is it extended? Today's text shows obedient people, obedient believers, that God will be with us and will provide what we need. I don't want to get off the path, but I'm telling you, there's a world of hurt coming in this nation. And when it comes, it's going to come with a great crescendo. You read texts like these and know it's from the God that cares for us. We got a chance that's better than everybody else has. No matter what the call or what the need, those who are walking in accordance with God's direction will have the hand of the Almighty. God has fixed it, where he walks with you hand in hand. There's a song about that, by the way. But they're not necessarily something that somebody scrubbed up in a book. It's from the scriptures, where God wrote the book. God said all this stuff at least two places in the New Testament, and God does not lie. If he says it, you can take it to the bank. Titus chapter 1. Verse 1 to 3. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to further the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. Have you noticed yet how many times God says he does not lie? So he does that. And he's done that for ages, so that we get a grip and say, hey, he really means that. He's promised before the beginning of time, which is now at his appointed season, he has brought to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of our Lord and Savior, to Titus, my true son in the common faith, grace and peace from them, from God the Father and Christ Jesus the Savior. You come down to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 and 20. Listen, I mean, you're all over the book here, and it's all saying the same stuff. It'll use a different word here, a different word there, but this is what we need to understand. This is real stuff. Hebrews chapter 6, 18 to 20. God did this so that by two unchanging things, which is impossible for God to lie, we have fled to take hold of the hope set before us and may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope and anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf and has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. When you're a high priest forever, that means to me that Melchizedek's still around. Does that sound like that to you? Therefore, it's yes and amen. When God says it, it goes down, and we can certainly stake our life on it. Do you want information that you can stake your life on? Or do you want somebody telling you something that what they think? What do you want? You want the real thing? Well, here's some Deuteronomy for you. 32, verse 39. God who makes this promise is the one who says, "See now that I myself am He. There is no God beside me. I put to death and I will bring to life. I have wounded and I will heal. And no one can deliver out of my hand." Christian people can walk in confidence because God does not need anything. Listen to this in John 1, 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. And then the Apostle Paul tells us about the supremacy of Christ when he continues and says, "For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and things on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together, and He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, that in everything He might have supremacy." Somebody said, "I don't know what God's doing." Man, He's telling you all through this book. Jesus is the agent of creation and the goal of which all things will find their end. Jesus is powerful. He is the one, Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified, put to death. But what happened to Him? He arose. Yeah. If you got a God whose boy is God and He's on your side, do you win or lose? You don't have any choice but to win. And that's what God wanted for us. Between the time when this earth, the atmosphere around it, and the galaxies were created and until the new heavens and earth come about, Jesus is the one who holds it together. In other words, the laws of gravity by which the universe holds together are science, but not only science. What's missing with science is that it's divinely controlled. It's not controlled by man. Man does not hold this earth and everything in it because the Lord does all that. We need God to survive. We can't exist without our parents. What would happen if your parents brought you into this world and they died? That is a fact that happens, isn't it? How do you have somebody after parents die? Why do you still have people in that same line? Because God has fixed it where it just keeps on going. And that's what He wants. We've got a God who is working on our behalf. The application in all of this is that Jesus Christ has first rank over everything, and He's on your side. The God of heaven and earth made that so. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the end of the world." Let me ask you this. When He says here, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations," what did He say to do with them? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Yeah. Did He say put a little water on them? Is baptizing daubing a little water on somebody? The whole thing about baptism and the getting the wet thing is that you're plunged down and you can't breathe right there. But when you come back up, what happens? You have a whole new life. Everything's washed away and everything is new. And people say, "I don't believe in all that stuff." That's probably because the greater part of people don't pay much attention to church stuff. Revelation, you read about Jesus saying, "I'm the Alpha and the Omega. Says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty." Revelation 1:18. Jesus is Lord, and there's nothing, literally no event, no time in future, which can separate believers from the love of God. I don't deserve what God's given me. I've got a woman that'll stand by me when she ought to be shooting me with something. I've been in a church building yapping at people for, Lord have mercy, how long? And I hadn't been hit yet. But I know this, I have a God that's on my side. And if you don't have that God on your side, the way you get that is you humble yourself and say, "I want to be immersed in water, covered with all my sins, and then come up out of that water with a new life." That's what baptism is. Baptism is never sprinkling a little water on somebody. When you are baptized, you are going all the way down. Now, you don't have to stay there all day, but you that's what it's done. That's why we preach these things and teach these things. I want to read one more thing to you. Psalm 104, verse 14. "At the Lord's choosing, He waters the trees, He feeds the birds, He clothes the lilies of the field. Not one sparrow falls to the ground outside of the will of God." Now, if God's interested in keeping birds alive, do you think He might be a little more interested in keeping us alive, us in His embrace? I believe that's what God's doing. I'm not good enough to be kept in Jesus' care, God the Father's care, the Holy Spirit's care. But for some reason, they think we are, and I'm glad. What about you? I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that He always cares for me. And the church said,
amen.
Amen.